Been a few weeks since I've preached on Wednesday nights, so again, we've been in a series on relationships of church. We've seen that church is a special place of relationship. It's a relationship of unity, relationship of love, relationship of ministry to others, and also a relationship to the ministry, and that's where we've been the last few weeks. By way of review, since it's been a few weeks, we've seen that God calls, God gifts, and God enables men to preach His Word. We know that preaching is the central task. It's not the only task, but it is the central task and the core and nucleus of the church's ministry. From these God-called, God-gifted, God-enabled men, God gives pastors to His churches. There is a God-placed membership. There is a God-placed pastorate. And these two, of course, are in conjunction with one another. God does it all by design. There's, of course, a very close connection between Christ and His churches, between Christ and the pastors, between the church, the churches, and the pastor that God has given them. A God-placed membership and pastorate, what we need to remember is those two things. A God-placed membership, a God-placed pastorate are God's means of taking care of His churches. And we have to trust God's means. God added membership, God added pastorate. Does it happen that some get in unawares? Yes, it does. That's true of members. That's true of pastors. But if a church follows the will of God, does not take matters into their own hands, they will have a God-placed membership, a God-placed pastorate. Now, in the Old Testament, Israel failed to see the importance of God sending to them prophets. And they failed to see the importance of that. They did not listen to the prophets. They did not trust the prophets. They had no confidence in the prophets. And this led, of course, to their ruin. God knows His churches. God knows what each of His churches need. That includes the members. That includes the pastor. That includes the messages. That includes everything. We say that the pastor, of course, is not a politician elected to do the will of the people. He is simply called by God to do the will of God. This is God's means. And again, we have to trust God's means. So a God-placed membership, a God-placed pastorate is by design, by God's design. Now the Lord places members within His churches, and He gives His churches pastors according to His own heart. We read in the book of Jeremiah. When He does this, it forms a relationship. It forms a connection between the two. The pastor, of course, is also a member, but we're, for the sake of lesson, we're separating the two. The stronger this bond between pastor and church, the more beneficial, the more profitable that pastor's ministry will be to that church. Now notice in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account. And here's what we want to notice. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is, if they do it with grief, that is unprofitable to you, the churches. So the stronger this bond, the stronger this connection between pastor and church, the more profitable, the more beneficial that man's ministry will be in that particular church. Now, Satan, of course, has a plan to, I believe, to expel every God-placed pastor. I believe he has a plan to do that. He, of course, does not always succeed in doing that. I believe that is his plan. If he cannot do that, he also has a plan to discourage the pastor, to frustrate him, or to undermine the ministry of that pastor. And these are parts of his schemes to make inroads into a body of Christ. We must be on guard that we do not become a tool of Satan in accomplishing any of his agendas. Now, the mistake that many people make is they assume that in order to become a tool of Satan, you have to have that intent and you have to be willing. That's not true. Now, it makes it worse if you have the intent to be a tool of Satan, and if you are willing to be a tool of Satan, that makes it worse. But you do not have to be willing to be a tool of Satan for Satan to use us. The devil has used all of us. At some point in our lives, the devil has used every one of us. And sometimes unbeknownst to us. And we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of how Satan works. And the Bible is very clear how Satan works. And he has not changed his methods. He has some other things that he can use nowadays. But again, his methods have always remained the same from Genesis chapter 3. And they haven't changed. So we should have a pretty good idea from reading the scriptures and also from our own lives, how Satan works, how he seeks to accomplish his agenda. When Peter rebuked Christ, Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter was at that moment a tool of Satan. Did Peter intend to be a tool of Satan? No. Was Peter a willing tool? I don't believe so. But he was used of the devil. So we have to be careful that none of us ever become a tool of Satan. And we will become a tool of Satan at some point in our lives in various areas. But as soon as that happens, we have to recognize it. And we have to stop. Now, one of the chief, not the only means, but one of the chief and most effective means that Satan uses to attack the God-placed pastorate, and when he does that, he attacks the church, is to cast doubt. Is to cast doubt about the pastor and to gradually, again, the devil, he doesn't care if he does something overnight. As long as he accomplishes his purpose, and the devil is willing to take the time, and one of the chief methods that he uses, or one of the most effective means that he uses, is to cast doubt and to gradually. He's not going to be able to do it all at once unless he gets the pastor to fall into some grievous sin. He's going to work to gradually undermine pastoral ministry. Now keep in mind, the core of the church's ministry revolves around the pastor. And if he can undermine pastoral ministry, he has undermined and he has weakened the ministry of the church. Now again, there is to be a bond. There is to be a close association. There is to be an attachment between church and pastor. The Lord has brought these two together. And where there is that bond, where there is that association, that contributes greatly to the spiritual effectiveness of pastoral ministry. Now, Satan is going to do everything he can. Again, if he can, he'll do it overnight. But in most cases, that's not going to happen. He will do everything he can to gradually break that bond in order to render the pastor's ministry ineffective, whether it be ineffective to a few individuals or rather it be ineffective to the whole body. He gradually does this. I believe the devil has done this in all of his churches, and he continues to do the same thing. Now notice again in Hebrews 13, verse 7 and verse 17, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of truth," or the word of God, "whose faith follow." That's trust. "Whose faith follow. Considering the end of the pastor's conversation." Again, Hebrews 13, 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." Again, that's trust. "For they watch for your souls as they that must give account." They will give account for their ministry, that they may give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Now, from those two verses, it is clearly seen that trust and confidence is a requirement for effective pastoral ministry. Now, in protest, someone might say, "Well, the Bible says that we're not to put trust in man." That's true. But what this is, in reality, again, in order for a man to pastor, there has to be trust, there has to be confidence. In reality, it is putting trust and confidence in the Lord's means of operation in his churches, which is through pastoral ministry. So it's not so much confidence in the pastor, though that has to be there. But it is confidence in the Lord's means of operating his churches. This is how God does it. Again, Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 make it very plain. When the Lord had something to say to his church, he delivered a message to the messenger of that church, who in turn now is responsible to deliver that message to the church. What the church does with the message after that, they are responsible for. Now, the pastoral ministry within a body of Christ can be so undermined and can be so diminished in the hearts and minds of individuals that the ministry is rendered ineffective in their lives. So much so that they are basically without a pastor. There are people in the Lord's churches, though there is a pastor in that church, there are people in the Lord's churches that do not have a pastor. The reason being is they will not allow the man that God has put there to be their pastor. And really, this is more common than you might think. But when this happens, when Satan is able to so undermine and so diminish pastoral ministry in the mind of any individual that they are now basically without a pastor, what we need to realize is when that happens, Satan has made a major inroad into the church. We have to realize that. Satan will do anything he can to weaken the effectiveness of the ministry, to weaken the effectiveness of the church. And one of his chief means of doing so is to subvert pastoral ministry. Now, it's very crucial that we have an awareness of how Satan works. So I want to look at... The Lord gave me a message probably 15 years ago that I never preached, and it's the dynamics of a church problem. And what I want to look at tonight is the dynamics of the most common way. It's not the only way, but I believe it's the most common way of how Satan goes about to gradually erode the power, the authority, and the effectiveness of pastoral ministry. And we've already seen that trust and confidence are necessary. Now, we're not going to tonight, but if we were to go back to Genesis chapter 3, and if we were to follow all through the Bible, we see that Satan is a master at planting seed. He's a master at it. No one is better than Satan at planting seeds of destruction. This is how he began with Eve. He planted a seed of doubt. How did he do that? He just made a statement. Just made a statement. But that statement was the planting of a seed of doubt. We had better be careful the statements we make, because we might be planting seed of the devil. He's the master at planting seed. He plants the seed of doubt. This is where he began with Eve. This is where he almost always, not always, but almost always, begins. He may plant a seed by just making a suggestion of a critical spirit within the mind of an individual concerning, tonight our subject's a pastor, it could apply to anything. But he plants a critical spirit concerning the pastorate. Now, when he does that, Satan approached Eve as a concerned individual. That's how he works. When Satan plants the seed of doubt or of a critical spirit, it's usually planted as a seed of concern. He's not only the master seed planter, he's a master at disguising seed. So he is the seed planter. And he knows that when a seed is planted, it might take root. He knows that. It might not. If it doesn't, he'll plant another one. But Satan, when he plants a seed, he knows that this seed will not take root everywhere. But it might take root somewhere. And that's all that has to happen. Because when that happens, again, we're talking about the pastorate, undermining the ministry. When that happens, when that seed takes root in one individual, he's made inroads into the Lord's church. When the seed of undermining has been planted in an individual, that individual, whether they realize it or not, is under satanic attack. When Satan approached Eve, Eve did not realize that she was under satanic attack, but she was. And when Satan plants that seed that's going to undermine the ministry, that individual that he's planted that seed or presented that seed, that individual is under satanic attack, whether they know it or not. Now, Satan will use individuals to plant his seed. These individuals may intentionally plant seed. We have all known of individuals who intentionally plant seed. Evil seeds. They intentionally do so because they themselves are evil. There are those individuals. But there are also individuals who plant seeds unintentionally. But either way, the seed has been planted. Whether it's done intentionally or whether it's done unintentionally, the seed's been planted. And keep in mind, when Satan approached Eve, did he just have Eve in mind? Oh, no. Satan never has just one person in mind. And I mean never. He never has just one person in mind. He never stops with one person. He never has just one person in mind when he plants a seed or when he uses someone else to plant the seed. This individual who has this seed planted within. Again, we're talking about the pastor. It applies to so many things. This individual now begins, okay, Satan has planted a seed of doubt. May be disguised as a seed of concern or a seed of love. But he has planted this seed, and now this individual begins to doubt. He begins to scrutinize. They become like the Pharisees. They showed up wherever Christ was preaching, not to learn, but to scrutinize. and to judge everything that he said or did. So now the seed has been planted in this individual, and this individual begins to scrutinize everything that the pastor does, everything that he says. And whether this individual knows it or not, what they are doing is they are building a case in their own minds against the pastorate. All pastors have faults, all pastors have sins, all pastors have weaknesses. They begin to focus in on those things. And they'll even focus in on perceived sins and perceived faults and perceived weaknesses, and everything becomes magnified. And when this happens, we're just talking about one individual. When this happens in that individual, that pastor's ministry has basically been rendered ineffective in that life. Keep in mind, Satan never has just one person in mind. So this is not where it stops. It doesn't stop with that one individual. You know, people have often expressed concerning those who are discontent, those who are discontent with the church, those who are discontent with the pastor of the church. They will often say, well, why, if they're not happy here, why don't they just go somewhere else? You want to know the reason? That's not how Satan works. That's not how he works. This person that's discontent, they may not even realize what is happening in their life, but God keeps them there Satan keeps them there because that's how he works. This individual in whom the seed has been planted, again, it doesn't stop with just this individual. This individual then begins to select a few individuals to talk to. And now, whether they realize it or not, or whether they intend to or not, they have become a seed planter. And seeds are being planted, and some may take root. Some will not, but it only takes one seed to find a lodging place. And damage is done. And Satan has made inroads. And wherever these seeds are being planted, others also become seed planters. And if one seed takes root, again, we're talking about the pastorate. One seed. If one seed takes root in one individual's life, the ministry has been weakened. It's been weakened in that individual's life. And if it's weakened in any area, Satan has made an inroad in the church. This is serious. And again, the devil does this everywhere. So, if the ministry has been weakened, the church has been weakened. But not only that, the church is now exposed to further danger. You realize if one individual, if the seed takes, finds a lodging place in one individual, the whole church is exposed to further damage, to further danger. Again, Satan never just has one person in mind. Here's how he works. During a conversation, an individual, again, it can be, this applies to many, many things. The individual, the seed planter, just in the course of a conversation, may make a negative comment or a comment that can be taken in a negative way concerning the pastor. He or she makes this comment just in passing. They may purposely make the comment. They may purposely plant that seed. They may do it unintentionally. Either way, seed's been planted. And where seed has been planted, it can take root. In a course of a conversation, it may just raise a question. I wonder, they may say, do you ever wonder why the pastor did that, when he did that? Why did he say that? And they just may ask a question. And the other person may say, well, no, I never really thought of it. But a seed has been planted. May not take root. May not take root. But it might. And if it takes root, now another individual has a question. An individual may get very upset with the pastor, or we may get upset with one another. Again, there are many applications to this. One, an individual may get upset with the pastor, and this individual may feel the need to vent to someone. And the person who is doing the venting may, in a few days, get over whatever's bothering them and forget all about it. But the person you vented to may not. You planted a seed. You say, I was just venting. Oh, you might have been venting, but you weren't just venting. You were planting seed. Well, I didn't do it on purpose. That may be so. Yet that was not my intention. That may be so. But either way, the seed was planted. And that seed, even though the individual who did the venting gets over it, that seed may have taken root in that heart they vented to. And now that individual, the ministry has been undermined in that individual's heart. So when that seed finds a lodging place, the pastoral ministry has been undermined in that individual's heart, in that individual's mind, and the pastoral ministry may become so ineffective in their lives that they too become seed planters. Person who did the original venting, they got over it. They're fine. But all the person they vented to, the seed found a lodging place. And Satan doesn't stop there. They go and plant the seed somewhere also. And through the years, this thing grows. And ministry is rendered ineffective. And this is one of the reasons. You often hear pastors, and I believe, please understand the statement I'm about to make. I believe the Lord is going to keep a pastor in a church as long as the Lord wants him there. But there is a danger because of this seed planting. But when a pastor is there so long, there could be a whole forest. Seed planters. May not be intentionally. Doesn't matter. Tree is still there. Whether it was planted intentionally or not. Now usually, when the ministry has been undermined and rendered ineffective in an individual's heart and mind, I've noticed this in the Lord's churches, that individual will usually be faced with a deluge of problems. But because these seeds have grown into full plants, and the pastoral ministry has been rendered ineffective in their hearts and minds, they have no one to go to. They have no pastor. Because his ministry has been rendered ineffective in their lives. That's sad. That's truly sad. I remember a message that Brother Harvey preached back in the 80s. Who a pastor can be a pastor to. And it always stuck with me. Because there's a lot, there are people in the Lord's churches that a pastor cannot be a pastor to because they will not let him. Because the ministry has been rendered ineffective in their lives. And it's one of the saddest things that you will see in a life. Now, when this happens, perilous times are sure to follow the undermining of pastoral ministry. The end result of Satan approaching Eve and planting his seed was broken relationships. And you know what? Life became a lot more difficult. Just because Satan planted a seed. And a pastor's ministry can become much more difficult just because some seed has been planted. Life in a church can become much, much more difficult just because some seed has been planted. Again, it can be intentionally. It can be unintentionally. Either way, the seed has been planted. This scheme of planting seed, the results of it can be seen in the Lord's churches everywhere. The seeds of undermining have, you think about it, the seeds of undermining has terrible results in business. There's not too many businesses going to put up with undermining. The seeds of undermining can tear any organization to pieces, intentional or unintentional. Applies to homes also. We live in a day, of course, where there is divorce upon remarriage and you have mixed families and you have exes, humanly speaking, talking bad to their children about their father or their mother. That's undermining. Those are terrible seeds. Those are destructive. It's evil. It's just like if a husband and wife have a huge argument and the husband or the wife go to their parents and tell them all about it. Oh, you might be venting. And you may have get off your chest and you and your husband in a few days are fine. But guess what? Mom and dad might not be. Because a seed has been planted. Well, I didn't mean it that way. It doesn't matter how you meant it. Well, it does, but the results are still the same. Whether it's on purpose or whether it's unintentional, the results are still the same. Whether it be a business, whether it be an organization, whether it be a home, nowhere are the results more destructive than in the Lord's churches. Nowhere. We have to realize that. Every one of us have to realize that. And that is why the church that is wise will protect the God-placed pastorate from destructive seed. I believe it was last year, at the Thanksgiving conference, I'm not going to say who, a preacher was preaching and he said something, and I knew right away, brother, you didn't mean it that way. I know that's not what you believe. But that's the way it came out. The next day, someone approached me and said, did you hear what brother so-and-so said? I said, yes, I did. I said, brother, how long have you known him? Oh, I've known him 30 years. You know he doesn't believe that. Anybody who does any amount of speaking is going to misspeak. I don't care who it is. But somewhere along the line, we have to think, okay, they didn't mean that. Now, if they say it two or three times, okay, now we may have a problem. But I'm talking one time. Oh, did you hear what he said? And then it spreads. People begin to plant seeds. Brother Dan believes such and such. When you know good and well, that's not what he meant. This is how this thing becomes so destructive. In undermining the pastoral ministry, there is a fracture. There is a fracture in trust. Whether it be a fracture in the trust in the man, or it is a fracture in the trust of God's way of operating in his churches. Either way, when the ministry has been undermined, there is a fracture in trust. And the pastoral ministry is weakened. Wherever and in whoever Satan can create doubt or break trust and confidence concerning the pastoral ministry has been weakened in that area and in that person's life. And it has a destructive result. We see that the trust, Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, this trust and confidence is necessary to the effectiveness of the pastoral ministry. That is why there have been, throughout history, there have been pastors who, in a business meeting, called for a vote of confidence. You say, oh, they're just trying to build themselves up. No. They know that seed has been planted, and they're trying to determine how vast of a garden we have here and whether or not it's even any use to stay on. Because if it's so undermined, it gets to a point where you might as well bang your head against that wall. You're not accomplishing anything, and you're not going to. And the Lord will usually make those things obvious through the course of time. Now, when Satan succeeds in breaking this trust, this confidence, through the planting of seed, or whatever other means he may choose, a pastor can render his own ministry ineffective. A pastor can ruin his own ministry. A pastor falls into grievous sin. I will almost guarantee you that that will weaken whoever it is that follows him in that church. And here's why. Because seeds have been planted. That last pastor, he did such and such. I wouldn't be surprised if he's doing the same thing. That's all it takes is doubt. That's all it takes. So not only does the pastor destroy his own ministry, he has weakened the ministry maybe of the next 10 pastors at that church. However long people lived that were there when it happened. These things happen. This is how Satan works. This is very dangerous. And when this trust and confidence is broken through the planting of seed or through an action, an act of the pastor, there is immediately an air of uncertainty. It may only be with one individual, maybe two individuals, it may be the whole church. But there is immediately an air of uncertainty. There is apprehension. There is cynicism. And that pastoral ministry has been rendered ineffective wherever those things exist in an individual. It's ineffective. Everything's affected because seed has been planted. And this opens the door to all kinds of danger. I've told men in the past, I said, if you really want to know how the adult members feel about you, watch their children. You don't have to ask them questions, just watch them. Watch how they treat you, because they learned it somewhere. Whether it be good or whether it be bad, they learned it somewhere. They may not have learned it from mom and dad, but they learned it somewhere, good or bad. So it opens, this undermining opens the door. And when the pastoral ministry is undermined in a person's heart and mind, there's now an immediate disconnect between the pastor and that individual. There is a disconnect between pastoral leadership and that individual. There is a disconnect between the preaching and that individual. You can watch. You can watch people sit on the edge of their seats. They're taking everything in, and then all of a sudden it stops. There's a problem. You say you're being paranoid. No. There's a problem. Either the devil has planted a seed in them, or he's used someone else, but there's a problem. You just don't change that drastically from one service to the next without there being a problem. Satan is a master at planting seed. And when there is a disconnect between the preaching and the individual, there's now this cloud of doubt, there's this cloud of scrutiny that hangs over everything the pastor says. I've had it happen. Seen others go through it. Well, never mind. But there's this doubt, there's this doubt, there's this scrutiny. And basically what has happened is the preaching ministry has been rendered ineffective in that life. And knowing how Satan works, it's not going to stop there. He's going to use that individual. Perhaps they'll go home and talk to their husband or their wife for their children. Did you get anything out of the message today? No, not a thing. Or, yeah, I did. Well, I didn't get a thing out of it. Planted a seed. Just a simple statement. Just a simple statement plants a seed. This is how Satan works. If he can undermine pastoral ministry, He has done more damage than you and I will realize in our lifetime. If it's just undermined in one person. This is why, parents, you do not, even if you have a disagreement with a pastor, and you think that you are absolutely right, unless we're talking about some sin, you don't sit your children down and tell them. Because you've planted a seed. And there may come a day when you come to that pastor and say, Pastor, you really need to talk to my son. You really need to talk to my daughter. And I want to say, I'm sorry, I can't. Because you planted a garden. You've planted a forest in their heart. And it won't do me a bit of good to talk to them. Happens all the time. This is common in the Lord's churches. Has been throughout the history of the Lord's churches. So, when a seed has been planted that undermines the ministry, there is a high probability of destruction in the life of the individual. This is dangerous. This is how Satan works, to undermine the ministry. That is why there are some churches, their history is that they cannot keep a pastor for more than a couple years. That's their history. I mean, it's been so for the last 15 pastors. There's a problem. There's a problem. I'm sorry, but I don't believe that God just sent the last 15 pastors to just be there for a year. There's a problem. And it's usually a group. And they're seed planters. And it doesn't take long. And that pastor has to move on because his ministry is ineffective there. We have to, we're talking about the pastoral ministry, but this applies in almost every area of our lives. We have to be careful of the seeds that we plant. We all do it. We make a simple statement about an individual. We may not mean a whole lot by it. We may not be intentionally trying to do harm to that person, but a simple statement can plant a seed and undermine that person in that person's eyes. And this is magnified when it happens in the Lord's church. And the devil continues to do this because it works. It works. So again, it is concerning. It is concerning when one individual gets out of sorts. That's concerning. It's concerning to anybody who knows how the devil works. Because he doesn't just have that person in mind. They may get over it, but he'll use them to get to someone else before they get over it. Terrible, terrible ruin and devastation. God help us that we in no area of our life, and when it does happen, and it will, when we become the tool of Satan, that we would realize it immediately. And that we would repent and that we would stop. You do not have to be a willing tool. Satan can use anybody, anything. Pastors need to realize that. Church members need to realize that. We all need to realize that. Any one of us can become a tool to bring destruction. And if it's just destruction to one life, I believe we have a lot to answer for. If we bring spiritual harm to one person. That's pretty serious. That's a very serious matter. Brother Tim, if you'd come.